Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to Bible Storyland. Today is April the 30th, 2011. I thank you for joining us this morning. I'm your host, Caritha Gantling, also known as Sister G. This is Joyful Praise International Day on Bible Storyland. Joyful Praise International Day. And we are happy to have you with us this morning. We have guests from different countries with us this morning. We have an exciting show planned for you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey. All right. God is with us this morning, and I thank Father God for being here with us this morning. All right, this morning we're going to have a praise song from Karen Itell. She's from Houston, Texas, and she began her music history at about 3 years old. So we're ready, Karen, for your first song.
Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. That's what we need is praise music. Praise unto the Lord. Give a joyful praise every morning when you get up unto the Lord. A shout out, thank you, Lord, for another day. Well, Father God, we just honor you today. We honor each one of you on the show this morning, my family, my church family, all my friends, and my spiritual leaders. I honor you this morning. Again, today is Joyful Praise International Day. We will praise the Lord with much delightful praise. Father God deserves all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise, joyfully sing to the Lord, you righteous people. Praising the Lord is proper for decent people. The word of the Lord is correct, and everything he does is trustworthy. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. His mercy fills the earth. Let all who live in the world stand in awe of him. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world. The whole world, and he's got the whole world in his hands. Got Africa and Asia in his hands. He's got Africa and Asia in his hands. He's got in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Europe and Australia. In his hands, he's got Europe and Australia. In his hands, he's got Europe and Australia. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got North and South America. In his hands, he's got North and South America. In his hands, he's got North and South America. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got Antarctica, too. In his hands, he's got Antarctica, too. In his hands, he's got Antarctica, too. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole wide world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, for he is mighty and greatly to be praised. We have a great man of God this morning on the line from Ghana with us. he is Apostle Bishop from the New Life Church at Jacksonville, and he is going to be leading us in prayer this morning. We're going to he's going to pray in his own language this morning. Good morning, Apostle.
Praise the Lord, Mama Jean. Praise God, everyone on the line. We want to thank God once again for Bible Story Land and for what God is doing. And God bless you, woman of God, for the sacrifice and for everything that God is using you to do in touching the lives of people. I'm from Ghana in West Africa, and I'm going to pray in one of my local dialects. And that is the Fante language. It's a Fante dialect. Shall we pray? Irazi yadawasi. Ane pe ya pompede. Mawasum jwe. Let your peace. Mawasum jwe. Let your peace. Wasum jwe kayen. Let your peace, Lord. It's in thee, our portion. You to amaiti shawansa. You to America, amaiti shawansa. You to wasafu, wasafu, your church. You to want this house. Now you pompe there. There is a mawansado. Mawansado, be chien. Save us, chien. There is a mamma in your name there. I will be your odor. My ibi in there. I want to eat to toji hen. She said, you to America, my shawansa. I come here in penyin fu. There's one you now show up them. There, my wasum. We stand against every works of the devil. You to do upon some means suffering. Me ya pompede. The juma is a sense. My hand atum, give us your grace. My hand atum. Give us your grace. My hand are doomed into in China. You compare it as a Mawasa for the Christian community. They're in the tree, ready, build your church. See, Wasa for. She was a for. Build your church. She was a for. Number when you young on Kahem. Eat the yes row. What in Toba? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christo. Missing. Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, God is in every country. He's in Ghana, in North America, South America, Europe, Australia, Antarctica. So I thank God for you, Apostle. That was an awesome prayer to the Lord. It brought tears to my eyes. And I just thank God for you and Pastor Ethel. You all are such a blessing in my life. All right,
amen.
We serve a good and a mighty God. He created people of every nation and every tongue. Ezekiel 37:22 says, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be to them, and all to be to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall be they divided into two kingdoms any more at all. God is bringing unity to all his people, one nation under God. All kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning for the international relationships of all the nations. I pray, Father God, that you will cause us to have favor in all the nations of the earth. I pray that because of our international influence, doors would open in nations that have been closed to the gospel in the past. I pray that those you raise up would give favor to the missionaries in their respective nations. Raise up wise men and women to fill our diplomatic corps, persons of skill and understanding in foreign affairs and in the affairs of state. Grant favor to our embassy personnel on every foreign front so they will be able to maintain good relations in their prospective posts, and so that even our enemies will be at peace with them. And we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing on Bible Storyland Have your way this morning in the name of Jesus. Psalms 72:12 says, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Psalms 47 says, Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible, for he is a great king over all the earth. For he shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon his throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. So I thank God for his mighty word. The Lord is mighty. The Lord is mighty. We will give him joyful praise this morning. And I thank God for each of you. You are welcome on Bible Story Land. This morning I'm asking you to get your Bibles ready. Get your Bibles ready. There is a great woman of God who is our next guest. She is from Sierra Leone, Africa. She is married to Apostle Beecham, who led that beautiful prayer for us. She also attends the New Life Church at Jacksonville, where Bishop and Lady White are the overseers. She is going to read into our hearing this morning the 23rd Psalm in her own language. Good morning, Pastor Beecham.
Good morning, Mama Jean.
How are you this morning?
Good morning, thanks. Amen. I'm doing very well.
All right.
It is a pleasure and a blessing to be on Storyland this morning. My name is Pastor Beecham, as Mama G said, Pastor Ethel Beecham, and I'm with the New Life Church at Jacksonville, where Bishop White is the presiding bishop, and I'm from Sierra Leone. I'm going to read to your ears Psalm 23 in my own dialect. Papa God, Nami Shepherd. I don't want anything. It make me fall a little na green grass. It lead me every day beside the water then wait and quiet. It bring back me soul. It bring back me happiness. It lead me every day usa afowaka na righteousness. It lead me every day usa afowaka way good. Just because of his namesake. Hey, he let at the worker, na them valid and a trouble. He let at the worker, who say trouble them. He let at the worker, where I go sit there, where go lead me for I die. I not go afraid nothing. I not go afraid no evil. Because I know say Papa God, he deal with me. In rod alone, in staff alone, he strengthen me every day. He encourage me every day. He comfort me every day. He make me enemies then gather before me. He make them gather before me. And then he give me victory over them. Then he give me power over them. Then he anoints me. He elevates me. He anoints me head with that oil. Oh, and then he give me victory over them. For one thing I know, in goodness, in plenty, in mercy, he will follow me for the rest of my life and for the rest of my day then. I know, say, I will dwell now in us forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Woo! That was awesome. I tell you what, these prayers are bringing tears to my eyes. I just thank God for you, Pastor Ethel. That was awesome. Even when you read it to me the other day, it just brought tears to my eyes. It's so touching to my heart to know that there are people in other countries who love our God, and we serve the same God. Hallelujah. So I thank God for creating different people in different languages. He loves us all. Hallelujah. So I just thank God for you. As I said earlier, get your Bibles ready. Thank you so much, Pastor Ethel. I love you and Apostle Beecham. And I just thank God for you all. And give my Shado and Joseph a hug and a kiss for me.
Amen. Thank you. We'll do, Mama Jim.
All right. This morning, hope you have your Bibles ready. This is Joyful Praise International Day on Bible Storyland. Our next guest is a young woman I met recently from Puerto Rico. Her name is Martha Calderon. She and I will read the Lord's Prayer in your hearing this morning. She's going to read in Spanish, and I'm going to read it in English. Buenos dias, Martha.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. And you?
I'm great. Great. How many children do you have?
I have two children.
She has two beautiful children. Oh, and a great husband. I just thank God for meeting you, Martha, recently. And so, ¿es usted lista?
Yeah.
Ready? Okay. All right, we're going to begin reading the 23rd Psalm. I'm sorry, not the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Vosotros, pues, orad así. Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre.
Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.
Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad. Como en el cielo, así también en la tierra.
11. Give us this day our daily bread.
El pan nuestro de cada día, danoslo hoy.
Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Y perdona nuestras deudas como también nosotros perdonamos a nuestros deudores.
Verse 13 in the last verse. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and forever. Amen.
Y no nos metas en tentación, mas líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, el poder y la gloria por todos los siglos. Amén.
Amen, amen. Martha,
amen.
I thank God for you. I know it was a divine hookup that we met. I thank God for you. And you read that so beautifully in your own language. Now, Puerto Rico, does it get cold in Puerto Rico?
Is it warm?
Does it get frío, mucho frío?
No, it's really hot.
Hot all year round. Wow, that's great. All right, I thank God for you, Martha. You continue to listen if you like. Gracias, señora.
Thank you.
I say it right, Martha?
Yep.
All right. Listen. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Listen. Oh, it's the courtroom of your life. You ask, why am I in court? You ask, why am I in court? I don't remember doing anything. What crime did I commit? Looks like I'm on trial. Oh, you hear the judge. He's hitting his gavel. Then you hear the bailiff saying, rise, all rise. The honorable judge, what's his name? His court is in session. All rise. Your mind starts to get frightened. You realize this is serious. You are still wondering what you did wrong. you hear the people being called to witness against you. The first witness is being called to the stand. Then the bailiff says, hold up your right hand and then put your left hand on the Bible. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? And you hear the witness choke and say, I do. You didn't even recognize the person at first. Then the prosecuting attorney go to the front to ask the first witness questions. All of a sudden, you remember who the person is on the witness stand. It's your best friend from high school. You have been out of school for 20 years, and you both changed since high school. You are now married, and you have two children who are both in the courtroom with your wife. You want to pinch yourself to see if this is real. You don't remember being arrested or even how you got to the courtroom. Then the questions begin. The prosecuting attorney asks your old friend from high school, how do you know this witness, he asks. Your best friend looks at you and says, we were next-door neighbors as children, and we went to the same church and high school together. We were both baptized the same day. The next question, what was he like as a child? Well, he was very humorous, and he laughed a lot, not too serious-minded, easygoing, and liked to play sports. He got a scholarship to go to a Christian college abroad to play soccer. He liked to compete not only in sports but in Bible relays and youth camp and every summer. He won several trophies. Next question. Did he lie often or every now and then? My old friend looked at the attorney, shocked at the question. He hesitated so long. The attorney asked him again, was he truthful or not? Then the answer came. He was truthful. He only lied once that I know of. It was on April Fool's Day when he said, did you hear that our school principal got drunk last night and ran a stop sign? Then he said, April Fool. Everyone in the courtroom laughed, and the judge says, order, order in the court. The judge hit the gavel twice and said, order in the court, order in the court. Then the prosecuting attorney said, no more questions. I still don't know why I was on trial. Then the prosecuting attorney said, oh, there's one more question. Why were you both baptized the same day? Was it an April Fool's joke, too? Everybody laughed again. No, it wasn't an April Fool's joke. My friend and I used to see other people go down the aisle of the church to give their life to Christ and get baptized and would see them live the same way that they did before they were baptized. If they drank before they were baptized and gave their life to Christ, they continued. If they gambled, they continued. If they chased women, they continued. If they lied, they continued. If they stole, they continued. Whatever they were doing before, it seems like their life never changed. So my friend and I were taught by our families at our weekly home Bible studies and at our church Bible studies at Vacation Bible School, and we heard many sermons that we would be changed after we were baptized if we repented, asked God to forgive us of our sins, and with sincere hearts that our lives would never be the same. One day we were thinking that we needed to give our lives to Jesus. We decided we wanted to be more like Jesus. We were tired of our lives the way they were, and we needed to change. So we decided to give our lives to Jesus to be baptized that next day, which was Wednesday. So Wednesday night after Bible study, we went up front and told our pastor we wanted to give our lives to Jesus and we wanted to be baptized. Our lives have never been the same. Of course, every day we have to die to ourselves. I used to hear people saying, die to yourself. But later, when I had to actually do it, it was not as easy as I thought. It's like this, giving up what I want to do since I gave my life to Jesus. I decided to do what God wants me to do. When I feel like looking at TV instead of praying, I pray. When I feel like cussing at someone, when they cut in front of me in the traffic, I bless them instead. When someone lies on me, I pray for them. When someone is in need, I do what I can to help them. Then the attorney said, okay, I understand. You may step down now. Next, the judge called my daughter to the witness stand. She is 14. So my attorney still sat there listening as the prosecuting attorney asked my daughter questions. The first question he asked her was, do you pray? She answered, yes. He said, how did you learn to pray? She said, my dad and my mom taught me. Next, he said, tell us about your dad. What is it like being the daughter of a pastor? I was very proud to hear what came out of my daughter's mouth. She said, my dad is not like a pastor to me. He's my dad. He takes interest in things my brother and I do. My brother plays softball in a little league, and my dad has never missed his games. As a matter of fact, he has the team over for refreshments once a month, and he listens to what they have to say. I play the violin, and my dad goes to all my recitals. My dad has a calendar of all our activities. He and my mom attends our school functions also. Every morning when we get up, mom and dad, my brother and me, have a brief prayer time before we do anything. Of course, we have to get up early, but my days at school are much better, and I get to ask God for myself what I want. I like that. We have been doing our prayer time ever since I can remember. My dad always considers us before he and my mom makes decisions for vacations, for guests coming to visit us. What we want is important to my dad and my mom, too. Of course, my dad is a father. We have rules, chores to do in our house. We always have to let him know if our plans changed. Then the attorney asked my daughter, when your dad is angry with you, what does he do? Does he hit you? Does he yell at you or what? Well, being human, he does yell sometimes, but mostly he says, sweetie, we'll talk about this. Now, that's how he does now that I'm older. When I was younger, he spanked me on occasion and my brother too, but only after he told us what not to do and he told us the consequences ahead of time. My dad talks with us a lot and gives us choices. He listens to us a lot too. We can talk with my dad and my mom about anything. They love to listen to us. They always take time, and they let us know we are very important to them, more than anything or anybody but God. All right, finally. Well, wouldn't you know it, my next-door neighbor was called to the stand. My neighbor is a very nice person, and we have been neighbors for a few years. I was curious to hear what he had to say. The prosecuting attorney asked my neighbor, what kind of person I am? My neighbor went way back and told him about the time my family and I invited them to dinner when they first moved into our neighborhood. He mentioned a time when he was adding a sun porch to his house, and I went over with my tools to help out. He remembered the time I loaned him my car to go to work for a week when his car was in the shop. He remembered the time my wife and I kept their children a couple of days when they had to go out of town on an emergency. Finally, my own attorney went forward and called my wife to the witness stand. He asked her only one question. If you were to say in one sentence who your husband is, what would you say about him? One thing I would tell anyone about my husband is that he loves me and our children, and he shows it. Well, if you haven't guessed already, the title of this story is, If You Were on Trial for Being a Christian, Would You Have Enough Evidence to Convict You? Not talking about how many times you go to church weekly, even how much you know about the Bible or how many times you pray, but how you live your life. It all boils down to your relationship with the Lord of your life, your Creator, Father God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says that to love the Lord, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and to love each other like we love ourselves. The word also says we can have enough faith to move mountains, but if we don't have love, we have nothing. We may our bodies to be burned, but if we don't have love, none of these things will help us. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't jealous. It doesn't sing its own praises. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It doesn't think about itself. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep track of wrongs. It isn't happy when injustice is done, but it is happy with the truth. Love never stops being patient. Love never stops believing, never stops hoping, never gives up. Love never ends. If you are on trial for being a Christian, a follower of Christ, would you have enough evidence to convict you of being like the one you follow, Christ Jesus, who gave his life for you and for me? All right, Karen Attell is going to play another praise song. This is Joyful Praise Day, International Day on Bible Storyland. Karen, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Karen, you got that gift. I thank God for the gift that in you, but you don't just sit on the gift, you use it. So I thank God. We have another great woman of God from Houston, also Houston, Texas, is on with us this morning. Her name is Evangelist Brenda Lombard. She is one of my prayer partners also. She's going to share an encouraging word with us from the Lord this morning. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning, Sister G. God bless
you.
I'm doing great.
Amen. I thank God for you.
I thank the Lord for you. I want to thank you for having afforded me the opportunity to speak on today. And, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of my life and my precious Savior. When Sister G called me and asked me to speak a word on this morning, she said that she wanted me to talk on worship. And this was a particular interest to me because the Lord had revealed to me several years ago, Brenda, worship is not just raising your hands or singing a song or playing an instrument. Worship is a lifestyle. And so I'll be speaking on worship this morning and how I have learned to worship through these past few years. I would like for you all to get your Bibles out if you could, and I would like to draw your attention to Genesis chapter 32, and it is the story of Jacob and how he learned how to worship the Lord. Jacob was the son, the youngest of the twin sons of Isaac, and Isaac was the son of Abraham. Jacob had spent at least 20 years in Ur of the Chaldeans with his uncle Laban. And why did he spend 20 years with his uncle Laban? He had tricked his older twin brother Esau of his birthright. And we know from reading the Bible that the eldest son is the one that would get at least the greater half. He would get more than half of whatever inheritance the father of the parents would have. He would get a better portion of it, and the younger son would, you know, receive whatever was left. So Jacob's name was supplanted. His real name, well, the word Jacob stands for supplanter, a trickster. And so we see that it was twice during his lifetime that he tricked his older brother, the older twin Esau, out of his birthright. So the Lord, Jehovah, had told him to go back to the land of his nativity, which was in Canaan land. And so because he had a word of the Lord, he had determined to leave the land because of the word of the Lord. He was determined to leave the land. But he remembered the count that his brother had made a threat against his life. Because before his father had died, Isaac had called Esau into him and said that I would like for you to go and prepare me a meal for me to eat, and before I die, I'd like to bless you. But Rebecca, his wife, overheard the conversation that her husband had with Esau. Esau was Isaac's favorite, and Jacob was Rebecca, the mother's favorite son. And so Rebecca went on, and she prepared the meal for Isaac, and Jacob went in and tricked his father because he was blind, and he received the blessing. So upon Esau's return, in order to receive the blessing from his dad, he said, well, I have already given the blessing to you. He said, no, you did not give the blessing to me. He said, yes, I did. And so he said, Father, bless me. Well, he said that you will be the servant of your brother, of your younger brother. And so he did give him a blessing, but it was not equal to the one that he had given to Jacob, understandably. So upon hearing that, Esau threatened his brother. He said, I will kill him. As soon as my dad died, I will kill him. So Rebecca found this out. She overheard the conversation, and so she begged Jacob to leave and to go to her homeland and remain there with her brother for a while until Esau, anger was subsided and he'd be able to return home. But this was not the case. He stayed with Laban, her brother, for 20 years, and while he was there, he married Rachel and her sister Leah, and he had two other, Rachel and Leah also had handmaids that they had given over to Jacob, their husband, as a concubine. So because Jacob had been so good in the care of the flocks, the herd that Laban had, Laban decided that he wanted to separate the herd. But Jacob said, well, no, don't separate the herd. Give me all the poor grain. Give me all the gristle. Give me all of the sickly, all of the ill-favored cattle, and you take the best. So through course of time and through an act of God, Jacob wound up having the majority of the cattle. God blessed him so much until he had more cattle than what his father-in-law had, Laban. And Laban was angry about that, and Jacob decided to leave. So he fled with his wives and his two concubines. And so he was fleeing from Laban, his father-in-law, and yet trying to go back to Canaan land because this was the word of the Lord. And when he remembered the account that Esau, you know, said that he was going to kill him, he was worried. He was very, very frightened. Could you read, Sister G, the 24th verse of chapter 32 on down to verse 30,
okay,
please? Mm-hmm.
This is Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 through 30. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint.
Now,
and
stop
he
right there,
with
please.
Him.
Stop right there, please. Have you ever been given a commandment of God? Has God ever told you to do anything in life? Have you wanted to purchase a home and you did everything that you could to purchase the home? You went to the bank, you did this, that, or the other? Has he ever told you to leave one area and to move to another area or out of state, and you did as much as you thought that you could do, but then until you hit a brick wall? This is what happened to Jacob. Jacob remembered the fact that his brother, his older brother, wanted to kill him. So en route going back to Canaan land, the land of his nativity, he encountered the angel of the Lord. And in encountering the angel of the Lord, they wrestled the whole night. Now we know that Jacob could not wrestle in his own strength against the Lord. All he could do was just hold on for dear life, because this was the pre-incarnate Christ, some people believe. And I believe also, I was taught that the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. This was Christ before he was born here on earth through the Virgin Mary. So he wrestled all night long with the angel, and he did not prevail. Hold on. Could you read further?
Sure. Verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel.
Praise God. Go ahead.
For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And
now
Jacob
stop right
asked
there.
Him, okay.
Stop right there. Stop right there, Sister Jean. This is what happened. Jacob he wrestled with the angel all night long, and the angel touched the hollow of his thigh, so that the bones, he had a dislocated hip, and he would drag his feet. And so the only way that he'd be able to get around was to use his staff. And the angel asked him, what is your name? Of course the angel knew his name. His name was Jacob. But he wanted to find out whether or not Jacob knew. Hallelujah. And so the angel changed his name, because this was a crossroad. This was a turning point in his life. Jacob had to recognize the fact that he could no longer walk on his own, under his own power. He needed the aid of the staff. Read on, sister.
Okay. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore it is that thou hast dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.
Praise God. Jacob had wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and his life was preserved. But in wrestling with the Lord, you see, this is something that Jacob needed. Jacob had done everything in his power that he thought could appease his brother's anger. What had he done? He had decided that he had decided that he would divide his family up. He said that first of all he'd send the two handmaidens, Bila and Zilla, with their children to meet his brother Esau, and he would give him cattle, sheep, and ewe lambs and other products that he had, other gifts, in order to appease his brother's anger. But when he had the encounter with the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord intervened. And because he wrestled with him all night long, and because he held on to him and said, I will not let you go until you bless me, the angel of the Lord gave him favor with his brother. And so when he did meet his brother later on, Esau came up to him, fell on his neck and kissed him and welcomed him back to the land. What am I trying to say to you is this is a form of worship where you and I have done all that we can do if we have a problem. When we have done all that we know to do and we have come, so to speak, to the end of our rope, when our back is against the wall, then this is when the Lord Jesus takes over. And he does what we cannot do. And in our own strength, we realize that when we give our problems over to him and he gives us the victory, that we get a new revelation of him. We appreciate him the more. I would like to share with you a testimony. When I was about 10 years old, I used to have headaches all the time. And I told my parents, I said, I had terrible headaches. And I was taken to the eye doctor, to the ophthalmologist in our city. And so it was found there that I had high pressure on my eyes, both eyes. And so it was determined that I had glaucoma. And in order to save my vision, it was found out that I needed to have operations on my eye, on both of my eyes as a child. And so after a period of time, I went into the hospital in New Orleans. And I had to go to school in the hospital. I was in fifth grade, and I had to attend school in the hospital. And I've always been a bookworm. And so one day while I was there, I found some books that I enjoyed. I was always a child who liked to help others. When the time came for the other little children to have their operations, I'd be the one to pat them on the back and tell them, well, don't cry. Come on, let Miss Mercer, our nurse, give you an injection and, prep you for surgery. Yes, indeed. One night I was told, I was so used to my mom coming to visit me on a nightly basis, and I was so used to my mom coming to visit me on a nightly basis, and one night she couldn't come to see me, and because I was so used to seeing her, I cried. And when I had to receive my first operation, Miss Mercy came over to prepare me for my surgery. When they put me on the gurney to receive my injections, I cried because they told me, Brenda, your mom said that she cannot come to see you off the surgery today, and I cried. I was really disappointed. I was really hurt, and I acted worse than the other little kids. And when they took me into surgery, back then in the 1950s, they used to put a mask over your face. And in this mask, you would have to breathe, and you would breathe in ether. And if they would put the mask on your face and you'd be screaming and yelling, then you'd wake up the same way, and that's what happened to me for my first operation. I began to scream and yell, and I began to fight. I did not want them to put the mask over my face. And when I woke up, because the hospital was run by Catholic nuns, the nuns said, Brenda, shut up. You're disturbing the rest of the children. So after a course of time, I went. It was determined that I needed an operation on my other eye, and I went back to school. And while I was in the library one day, I read a book, and it had a nice blue color on the fly page of the book. And so I said, well, Lord, if you would just show me this blue color when I go to sleep for my second surgery, I promise you I will not make a scene. So as the course of event went, my mom had six other children at home and my dad, and she was not able to come to see me have to see me off to have my second eye surgery. But I did not complain. I had made a promise to the Lord, and I did not complain. He was there holding my hand. I was already saved. I got saved when I was 4 years old. And so when Miss Mercer came by to prep me to get my injections for surgery, I did not cry. I did not make a scene. I was peaceful. And when I got the surgery and they put the mask over my face, I did not fight it. And when I finally went to sleep, I saw the color blue. And when I woke up very, very peaceful. And my mom was still not there when they brought me downstairs. What am I trying to tell you? That I learned. It taught me a very, very important lesson then. I could not go through surgery without the Lord having held my hand. Because this was something that I knew that I had to do. I needed the surgery in order to save my vision at that time. What am I saying? I learned how to depend, how to lean and depend upon the Lord. You cannot depend upon anyone. Our parents are good to us. They love us. Friends love us. Siblings love us. But you must lean totally upon the Lord. I want to give you a verse of scripture in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 3 and 5. They say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I learned how to trust in the Lord with all my heart at the age of 11, so that when things happened to me, I wasn't dependent, and I didn't look necessarily for my mother or my father or for anyone else. All I wanted to know was, where is Jesus? And I want to say to all the children, yes, your mother and your father loves you. The adults in your life, your sisters and your brothers and your friends, they all love you. But learn how, at a very early age, to lean and depend upon the Lord, because your parents or someone that you love may not be present to help you. But if you have that personal relationship with him, you will never be left alone. And this is worship. If you ever go through a catastrophic event in your life and you learn that you try to do everything that you can do to help yourself, and you see that after having done these things, that, you know, the help that you need, that the answers that you need, that the thing that you want to happen for you does not come to pass, listen to the Lord. Obey him. Follow his commandments and do what he tells you to do, and you will get the victory. And the older people, for those of us that are older in our 60s and even beyond, follow the example of Jacob. Jacob learned that he tried to do everything that he knew how to do. He tried to appease his brother Esau by giving him gifts, but that was not the answer. It was only after he had a wrestling match with the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh so that he had a dislocated hip, and he realized that he could no longer walk under his own power, but that he needed to lean on the staff. He leaned on the staff in the natural, but he also realized that the only reason why Esau, his brother, welcomed him back to the land was because the angel of the Lord had blessed him. And how had he blessed him? He made peace between he and his brother. And because of this, I can truly praise the Lord and give him thanks. I appreciate him the more because it taught me at a very early age not to depend upon my mother, not to depend upon my father, but to depend solely upon the Lord. And Jacob learned the same thing, how to depend solely upon the Lord. God bless you this morning. Thank you, Sister G.
Amen. That was an awesome word about Jacob and Esau and about worshiping God. You know, praise is comely for the upright. We worship the Lord. That's what he wants us to worship him. You know, sometimes we worship the TV, we worship other people, we worship clothes, we worship the sun, the moon. But God said he wants to be worshiped, him and him only. And he looks forward to our worship. When we worship him, he is pleased. I thank God for the word that Brenda gave about worshiping and how Jacob and Esau and their life. And one scripture that she gave in Proverbs 3:5, I want to read it to you also, verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. When we don't know what to do, don't try to figure it out. We could go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. I can't do this by myself. And there's a scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ. Not through me, not through you, through Christ who strengthens me. We can't strengthen ourselves, but Christ can. So we don't lean upon our own understanding. You know, sometimes you look at a situation and you try to judge it. You say, this isn't happening, this, and the other. But you know what? When it all boils down, it wasn't even the way we looked at it. God showed us the way it really was. Because sometimes, you know, our own understanding get us in trouble. So we have to lean and depend upon him and his understanding. Lord, I don't understand this situation. Help me. Now, remember the story about if you were on trial for being a Christian, would you have enough evidence to prove that you are a Christian? So when you stand before the judge, the mighty God, will there be enough evidence? You know, when he said, you know, we all want the Lord to say, he know our name. You know, we don't want him to say, who are you? I never knew you. We want him to say, welcome, thy good and faithful servant. So make sure you have enough evidence in your life. You don't have enough? Start working on your evidence right now. Like the man in the story. You know, he loved his neighbor. He helped him. He loved his wife and children. They knew without a shadow of a doubt his daughter could give good testimony. How many of your children can give a good testimony? Oh, yeah, my parents live lives of integrity. You know, they don't lie. They don't be trying to go in the grocery store and steal nothing. They don't cheat on their taxes. You know, good things. You know, oh, my, you know, they help their neighbors. You know, when you see somebody in need, what are you doing to help them? You know, we always say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but do we have enough evidence? So, and remember, our Father, which art in heaven, that was read into your hearing this morning, and the Lord is my shepherd was read. You know, this is Joyful Praise International Day on Bible Storyland. And we've had people on here from Ghana, Sierra Leone, from Puerto Rico, and, of course, people from the United States. So I thank God. Next, we have another young woman from America, Jacksonville, Florida. She was born in 1910. She's 100 years plus. She's my favorite aunt. She's known as the mighty Mildred Brown. Good morning, Aunt Mildred.
Good morning, dear.
How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fine. The Lord let me wake up this morning. And I'm
amen, amen, pray. Amen. So I thank God for you, Aunt Mildred. You ready to sing praises unto the Lord?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to sing him some praises.
Amen. We're ready to listen.
Time, God. Yes, he is. He's on time, God. Yes, he is. Job said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. I said he's on time, God. Yes, he is. Remember the children of Israel? They were trapped at the Red Sea. They had water all around them, and old Pharaoh and the trap. But out of nowhere, my God spoke and made a highway just like that. Let me tell you, He's on time, God. Oh, yes, he is. He's on time, God. Yes, he is. Job said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Let me tell you, he's on time, God. Yes, he is. He's on time, God. Yes, he is. He's on time, God. Yes, he is. Job said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Let me tell you, he's on time, God. He's on time. He's on time. He's on time. Yes, he's on time. Let me say, on time, God. Yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen, amen. He is on time. You know, sometimes you be needing a little bit more money every month, and you say, Lord, how am I going to make it? But guess what? When you look back, you say, oh, my God, I paid off everything. I have money to do extra with. You know, when your children.
He's right there.
The school, that's it.
He's right there when you want him.
Yeah, he sure is. He's right there. When your children, you know, the grades may be a little low, and you get together with your children and you pray, and you say, Lord, they got to take a test this morning. Help my child pass that test. And they go to school, and when the grade come back, you say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. You answer that prayer. You out in the traffic, you driving it around, and a car is coming towards you, and they put on brakes just on time. You say, hallelujah. He was right on time. He stopped that accident. Or something happened and you fell, but you didn't break nothing. You didn't have to stay in the hospital. You could say, Lord, it was you that saved me from having it be worse. You know, people are in tsunamis and hurricanes and all kind of disasters are happening in the world. Don't panic. Call on God. Say,
that's
Father, help. And he'll be right there. I promise you, he'll be on time. If you take a journey right now and you go to Japan, I bet if you talk to many of those people, they cried out to God. I bet you he was right there on time. Where maybe the next door neighbor's house was demolished, theirs was probably still standing. Even in New Orleans, during the Hurricane Katrina, we cried out to God. Some people next door flooded, house flooded. On the other side, no water at all. People crying out to God. Somebody didn't have food, cried to God. The helicopters came and dropped it down. So he is an on-time God.
Father,
we have another great woman of God from
today.
Jacksonville, Florida.
No,
she is a wonderful singer. Her name is Jackie Travis. Good morning, Jackie. How you doing?
I'll be doing all this stuff.
Jackie, how you doing?
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. You got a lot of stuff going on in the background?
Yeah, we at the breakfast for the basketball team for my friend's son, and we're trying to support him. Trying to do a
you
lot
did
of things
tell me that. All right, now
this.
I thank God for you. You ready to sing unto the Lord this morning?
Yes, we're ready to sing. We're ready to sing.
Oh, we good. We're all singing with you.
Well, I was trying to get them, but they still doing the breakfast. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to sing outside. You want to go outside and help me sing?
No.
Miss Earth, come on outside. You ever help me sing? Come on,
in the bathroom singing.
Come on.
Right, all right. Praising the Lord. Right on. We thank you, God, for
and
what's going
right
on. Thank you, Lord. Thank the
right
Lord
here.
For whoever joins in
I'm
with
ready.
You.
Loud.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can.
You can hear us?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Oh, Lord. Kumbaya.
Someone's crying, my Lord, kumbaya. Someone's crying, my Lord, kumbaya. Someone's crying, my Lord, kumbaya. Oh, Lord, kumbaya.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, man. Come by here, my Lord. Somebody needs you, Lord. Kumbaya means come by here, my Lord. Somebody needs you, Lord. Somebody calling out to you. Come by here, my Lord. So that was beautiful. Thank you so much, Jackie, for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and be on with us this morning.
That was me and my boss lady, Rhonda Gordon. We had another lady, Eartha Jefferson. She wanted to sing with us, but she had to go to the restroom.
Thank God for your boss, Rhonda Jefferson.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you, Jackie.
Okay.
Look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, we'll be there.
All right. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. It is prayer time on Bible Storyland. You know, we always need prayer. That's how we communicate to our Father. That's how He know what we want. He moves. You know, you as a child,
be at home listening in on this
thing, and then your parents may not know what you want. Maybe you want a doll baby. Maybe you want a class ring. But how they gonna know unless you tell them? They may think about it, but they're going to move on it when you tell them. So our Father's like that. You know, He know what we need, but He be waiting on us to come and say, we need this or we need that. And He moves. He said, oh, yeah, that's my child. They're asking me for something. I'll load them up with benefits every day. I'm giving them the desires of their heart. That's when He moves, when He hear your voice. He be waiting on you. Waiting on you. He said, call upon me, and I'll answer you. So call upon him. So we're ready to call upon him for whomever need prayer. So if you are on the line and you need prayer, press 1. If you're already on, you can speak.
I'd like to have prayer. This is
okay, and Mildred?
Brown. And I'd like prayer, and I'd like for you to pray for my daughter had an accident. Pray that Lord knows it could have been worse. I pray that it continue to heal. And pray that the Lord continue to heal her. That's for Mavis.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank everyone who was on the show. And thank Coretha for all your trials. Everything always work out for the best. And this is a wonderful program you have this morning. And all of us praying for you.
Amen. Thank you, Aunt Mildred. Anybody else need prayer this morning? Press 1. If you're already on, you can just speak.
Yes, this is Mother Henry.
Good morning.
How you doing? I just had a little something I want to say. It's not going to be long.
Okay.
But I greet the congregation in the name that is above every name. And I want to thank you, Minister G, for the opportunity to be here on Joyful Praise. And I am a missionary to Cameroon, Africa. I live in Florida. But I had a little thought from Philippians 2:8. I would like to read this verse. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I just wanted to say a few words about the agony of the cross. You know, we just had Easter, and it's been burning in my heart, the suffering that Jesus went through for us. And I'm wondering, does it mean anything to us once it's over? So as Christians, we understand the significance of Christ's sacrifice at Calvary. But it is easy to forget about the tremendous agony he endured for us. The worst aspect was separation from the Father. But the physical suffering was also horrible beyond comprehension. In his book, Dare to Believe, Dan Borman shares some thoughts that can deepen our gratitude for what the Savior did for us. He wrote, "We have perhaps unwisely and sometimes unconsciously glamorized the cross. Jewelry and steeples alike are often ornament and attractive, but carry nothing of the real story of crucifixion. It was the most painful method of public death in the first century. The victim was placed on a wooden cross. Nails were driven into his hands and feet. And then the cross was lifted and jarred in the ground, tearing the flesh of the crucified and racking the body with excruciating pain. Historians remind us that even the soldiers could not be used to the horrible sight, and oftentimes took strong drinks to numb the conscience. With a fresh awareness of the Savior's physical agony, many of us seeing the passion of the Christ, let us thank him anew for his sacrifice at Calvary. He loves us so much that he was willing to die for us, even that cruel, painful death of the cross. And the question is, was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. We can never sacrifice enough for the one who sacrificed his life for us. And the question comes today, does it mean anything to you? And I thank you for being on your program today. May God bless you and all those that are listening. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother Henry. That was an awesome word. And I didn't realize you were a missionary to Cameroon, Africa. But I thank God for the time that you put in with them, the people there. And that was an awesome word, the agony of the cross, the suffering. You know, sometimes I used to say, Lord, forgive me for crucifying you again. Forgive me, Lord, for the sin. You know, he knew I was going to sin before I was born. So he said, Lord, Father God, forgive Caritha, for she don't know what she's doing. I was crucifying him again, but he did all of that, and he patiently waited for me until I could come to myself and get to know him and repent of all those sins that I committed against him. So I thank God for him dying on that cross for me and for you. It was a cruel death.
Amen.
But I thank God that he went through it.
He didn't just
do it for himself. He did it for us. Unselfish love. True love,
yep.
That's true love. He gave up, he died to himself, which we have to do every day is die to ourselves. So I thank you, Mother Henry, for those encouraging words. I thank my Aunt Mildred for those encouraging words. Anybody else need prayer this morning?
You can pray for me for my finances.
All right, increase in finances, okay.
Yeah, because the bank is messing up my account, and I'm really going through something now, and I need special prayer for that.
All right. Anybody else? Prayer this morning.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I will ask for prayer for my music ministry.
Okay, Karen. Anybody else? Okay, Karen, I have that music ministry for increase. Okay. Anybody else before we pray this morning?
I also need prayer for guidance and for financial miracle.
Okay, Brenda?
Yes.
Guidance and financial. Hold on, Martha. I'm going to get you.
Okay.
Okay. Martha Calderon, you still on? Okay,
Martha Gonder.
That's
Gonder.
It.
Yes. Just continue.
Yeah, it was another Martha on too, and I thought I heard her speak too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just continue your prayers that I might grow stronger in the Lord, and just continue your prayers for my son and his family in Japan and the ones in California and just all of my family. And I just thank the Lord for that he's brought me this far, and just the program is just beautiful. It's just wonderful. I've gleaned so much strength and goodness from it. So just keep up the good work, Caritha.
Thank you, Martha. Okay. Anybody else? Prayer this morning. Press 1 if you need prayer. Press 1 if you need prayer. Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hold on 1 second. All right. Yes, I can hear you now.
All right. This is Emily in Kalamazoo, and I'm just praying for holy boldness. Just more boldness in God to just be
Amen. Stand
bold and proclaim his
name. I'll second that one.
Right. So just
holy boldness and proclaiming what?
Proclaiming his goodness, stand firm in his goodness and just proclaiming his goodness and living his life just before people that they may see God through me.
Alrighty. Anybody else? Press 1 if you need prayer. Press 1. Okay, just a moment.
To pray for your program, Sister G. You have such an outreach in your program that my prayer is that many, many more, countless more people will press in and hear your program because it's so uplifting and it draws anybody that's born again closer to God. So my prayer is that your program will go far more than ever at this present men, and that the Lord will bless you mightily with the anointing, destroying yokes as you go. That is my prayer.
Sister Elena, I'm going to call on you for that prayer in a few minutes. I'm going to see if anybody else needs prayer, but I'm going to call on you for that prayer if you don't mind.
Okay.
All right, hold on when I get to that one. Anybody else need prayer? Just press 1. Okay. All right. We're going to have prayer. And I just thank God for each of you this morning. And, you know, I thank God that he allows us to come before. You know, he's a holy God, a righteous God. We're his filthy rags, and he allow us who tainted with sin, spots on our garments. He allow us to come to him to be his child. I mean, how many kings do you know is going to allow you to come with raggedy clothes and you talk any kind of way and you're not royal to him? You couldn't have gone to that wedding yesterday, that royal wedding. But when we call upon the name of the Lord, when we call upon the name of the Lord, we can get answers to our prayers. So I just thank God this morning for each of you. And we're, excuse me, Sister Elena, would you go ahead and say that first prayer for me, please?
Yes, I will. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. And, dear Lord, we thank you today that you allowed each and every one of us to hear this program and be a part of what is going on at this hour in this world that you have created. So, dear Lord, we thank you for everyone that participated. We thank you for the Spirit of the living God that shines through each one to be a blessing to each ear that heard the program today. And dear Lord, we know that your word says, go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel. So dear Lord, I ask you right now to open up other avenues, other areas where the word can go forth mightily to many that even don't even know about the church home. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to bless this program and bless each listener, oh God, with everything that they have need of, because your word says, my God, all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And your word also says, is there anything too hard for God? So there's nothing too hard, even with that mother with the child out in the foreign land in the service. It's nothing too hard for them to look over that child and take care of him, as well as take care of the one in California. Lord God, you are God that sees all things, because your word says, behold, the eyes of the Lord go throughout the whole earth, beholding the good and the evil. So, Lord, we want to thank you right now for the good that you have beheld on this program today, and we ask you to increase it. And we ask you to bless Sister G. Pour out your spirit upon her. Give her, increase her with knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and favor. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We have one more caller on the line. Good morning. You need prayer? Frank?
Yes.
You're on.
Okay. Thanks, Carissa. I need prayer for God to help me overcome the loss of my wife 2 years ago.
Okay. Okay. This is my surrogate father, you all, Frank Hart. He's in Ohio, and I thank God for him. He took care of me both 5 years and plus when I lived with he and his family. So I thank God for you, Frank.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else need prayer? Press 1. Okay. Someone else press 1. Hold on. Okay. You're on the air, 903.
Yes, ma'am. I need prayer for strength. I need prayer for my family. And I need prayer to just continue to be closer with God.
Okay. Thank you, Avis. How are you doing this morning? Where are you, Avis?
I'm in Tyler, Texas.
Amen. Tyler, Texas. All right. Anybody else need prayer this morning? Okay, well, Father God, we consult you, the mighty, great I am. And, Father, we're not worthy, but you are. And this morning, we just thank you, Lord. I thank you for my Aunt Mildred and her family. I particularly lift up her daughter right now, Lord God, as my cousin was in an accident the other day. But I thank you that the healing is coming. You said, beloved, above all, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So send the word, Father God, and heal my cousin Mavis. I thank you for the strength that you gave my Aunt Mildred, the strength you give her every day, Lord God. I thank you that she is your precious child, and you have given and are giving her daily abundant life. And, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you are real to her. I thank you for giving her strength to come on every Saturday and sing songs of praise unto you, O God. Father, we just thank you for your love, my Aunt Mildred, for her family, Father God. I lift up Mavis's daughter also, my cousin Cheryl, Lord God. And I thank you for healing virtue going through her body. And, Father, when you heal, we are truly healed in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you for Mother Henry. I thank you for the seniors on the line, Mother Henry and other men and women of God. I thank you, Father God, for strengthening them. I thank you for increasing her finances, Father God. Father, she needs more monetary supply in the name of Jesus. And you said, whatever we have need of, we can come to you. Whatever we ask in your name, believing, you will grant it. So I thank you, Father God, and I believe that her increases in her finances are increasing, Father God. And I thank you for increase in finances for all of us, Father. These are times, Lord God, where we need an increase. Help us, oh, Father God. I thank you for loading us up with benefits every day, Father God. And, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for giving Mother Hendry strength every day in her body. I thank you, Father God, that she's still on your path. Even though she's not in Cameroon, Africa, she's still a missionary here in the United States, telling a people about your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your faith, faith, how she has faith in you. And, Father, not only as Brenda and my Aunt Mildred, Mother Hendry, too, has vision in the spirit. They may not have physical vision, but they have vision in the spirit. So I thank you for an increase in the spiritual vision for them, Father God. I thank you for what you're doing on their behalf. And I thank you for their faith and trust in you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for blessing them with increase in the natural and in the spirit. And, Father, I lift up my friend Karen Itell, a great woman of God who plays music unto you, Father God. Increase her music ministry in the spirit, Father God. Oh, Father God, draw Karen Itell closer with you, Father God. Just a closer walk with you. Granted, Jesus is our plea. And, Father, I thank you that as you lead her by your spirit, that her music ministry will increase, oh, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, for the love you have for Karen. I thank you for blessing her to come on Bible Storyland. Bless her even the more for coming on. And, Father, I lift up my friend Brenda. I thank you for increasing in her finances, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that she once was blind, but now she see.
Amen.
My Aunt Mildred once was blind, but now she see. Mother Hendry once was blind, but now she see. So, Father God, I thank you that they see in the spirit, deep into the spirit, in the name of Jesus, those things that you're showing them for your people, oh, Father God. And, Father, we just honor you today because you are great and mighty. I thank you for Martha, Lord God, for strength. Strengthen her even the more, Father God. I thank you for all the many lives that Martha touched on a daily basis, the wise counsel that she gives for people, Father God. The way she loves your people and just takes them under her wings and mother them, Father God. And, Father, I thank you for her son in Japan who lives there with his wife and family, Father God. Bless them, oh, Father God. And, Father, draw them all closer to you in the name of Jesus, closer with his family. Bless her family in California and her family all over the United States, particularly in Kalamazoo, Father God. I thank you for what you're doing in Martha Gonda's family, Father God. I thank you for our daughter Sandra, who usually come on every Saturday, but who's doing ministry in the street today, Father God, doing ministry out and abroad. Even last Saturday was doing ministry in the street. Bless her and her family, oh, Father God. And, Father, I thank you for Emily from Kalamazoo, who comes on weekly, Father God. Bless this woman of God, this mighty woman of God. And, Father, I thank you that you've already given her holy boldness. Just let her use it, Father God. And I thank you for her proclaiming your goodness. I thank you for her living a life dead to herself and alive to you, listening to your voice, obeying your voice. And, Father, we just bless you. I thank you for Sister Elena, Lord God, being on to encourage us, Father God. I thank you for giving her strength, Father God, to have wisdom in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, for being with us every day. We can't do it without you, Father. We need you. I lift up my surrogate father, Frank, Lord God. I thank you for this great man of God. I thank you, Father God. Father, we can try and try and try to do things in our own strength, but it's impossible. But I thank God for him coming to you and asking you to help him overcome the loss of his wife. We can comfort, but we can't comfort like you can. You're the great and mighty comforter. And, Lord, I lift up Avis today, and I thank you for Avis, for strength for her and for her family. And I thank you, Father, that she's an overcomer in everything, every way, every way, every way. And so, Father, we bless you today. We honor you. I look forward, Father God, for you being on Bible Storyland every Saturday morning, Father God. Father God, I thank you for using me. I thank you, Father God. I yield to your will today and every day. Have your way on Bible Storyland every week. All righty, our show is going to end soon. I think they were just telling me about 60 more seconds, but I think we do have a little bit more time. Let's see if how much more time they're going to give us. I want to say to each of you, I love you. You are a blessing to me. God bless each of you. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, good. So they're giving us more time. I love you. Have a God-filled day. I look forward to hearing from you next Saturday on Bible Storyland. Avis, let me see if you have time to give that little short testimony you were going to give. You can try it and see. Karen, you want to play a little soft music while right after Avis give that testimony?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Avis.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead, babe.
Okay. It's a testimony and a song. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You made a way. You made a way, you made a way for me out of no way. You saved my soul, you saved my soul, you saved my soul from the hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus, Satan, the blood of Jesus, cover me from head to toe every day of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, that was awesome. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He made a way for her, and he made a way for us. She was in Katrina, you all, and God made a way for her out of no way. All right, Karen, you ready to play us out this morning? Thank you, Avis.
Yes, ma'am. Here we go.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Avis. I thank God for you sharing that testimony. We all have those testimonies from Katrina, and I thank God that he made a way. Go ahead, Karen. He made a way, and he's still making a way. Forward to seeing each of you and hearing from you next week on Bible Storyland. So you have a God-filled week. Keep playing, Karen. Have a God-filled week, a God-filled day, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. And be blessed of the Lord. Open up his word. Open up his word. That's where the strength is. You know, one time I was just needing spiritual strength. I started opening up the word. That's where the strength is, because it's his word. And when you read it, it comes alive to you. Read the word. Open the word up. Say, Father, where you want me to read today? 23rd song, the Lord's Prayer. Read Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Psalm 23. Read the word. Keep playing, Karen. It's awesome. Well, I just thank God for you all. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Read Genesis 32:24-30. Read the word.
Thank you.
Amen. Now, Karen, I tell you, I thank God for you because you have been such a blessing to me today, just staying the whole show and playing beautiful music unto the Lord. I thank God for each guest who came on this morning, Karen. I tell Apostle Beecham, Pastor Beecham, Martha Cardron, Brenda Lombard, Avis, and Karen, anybody I left out, please forgive me, Mother Henry, also my good friend Jackie Travis. She was at an event, but she had to go, but she did sing Kumbaya. So sing unto the Lord, praise him, sing a new song unto him. So I will talk to you all next week. Anybody else have anything they want to say? Looks like they're giving us a little bit more time. Anybody want to share anything?
God bless you, Carissa.
May yes, you ma'am, Aunt Mildred. God bless you, too. Thank you, Aunt Mildred. Anybody else want to say anything?
God bless you all.
Thank you, Karen. God bless you.
Thank you, Carissa.
Thank you, Brenda. I appreciate you. All right, someone else press one. Hold on 1 second, please.
Thank you, Carissa. I hope you continue to have success on this program.
Amen.
Aunt Mildred, love you.
Love you, too. Hold on. Hold on. Mavis, hold on 1 second. All right, Mavis, you're on the air?
Yes, just want to let you know I love you and thank you.
I love you too. Thank you. You heal. Get your rest and heal.
Okay, thank you.
Love you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning?
I'd like to. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Sister Elena.
I would like to thank all those participants on the radio this morning. My dear sister in Christ, Brenda Lombard. That gave an inspiring message, and the other, the missionary that just touched my heart, that lets us realize how God, Jesus suffered on the cross for us. It helps us to realize in our lives when we try to, it's so easy to sin, but realizing that we're crucifying the one that died for us.
Yeah.
So it's such a powerful message. The ones that sang, the one that played the piano, I just want to thank God for all of you all today. Every last one of them. And that the one that's in grief because of his wife. The word says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So there's comfort out there for you, dear brother. There's comfort in the word. Stay in the word. Stay in the church. And you will receive what God has to give you, the peace and the comfort that He has already ordained for you from the beginning of the world. He said that God be troubled. So God bless all of you all, and I thank God for each and every one that put in there. My precious little Aunt Mildred. I call her my Aunt Mildred, too. She's so precious. I just love her, love her, love her. So I thank God for all of you all. So God bless you and thank you. Lord, I love you, Carissa. Keep up the good works and keep your hand in God's hand. I know you'll go further and beyond it, whatever you could ever think or ask. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for those encouraging words, Sister Elena. I appreciate you. Anybody else? You're already on. Go ahead.
Carissa, this is Martha. I just want to say you've just laid out a full spiritual banquet for us this morning. I just love all of your guests. I just have gleaned from them. I need everything that I can get in this cruel world. It's Satan kind of comes against us for no reason at all, but we know that it's for our strength in the Lord. So I just want to thank you for the time and the preparation you put in to blessing us this way, and just continue on because you probably don't realize the good that you're doing, but I just thank you, and I claim Aunt Mildred, too. I love you, Aunt Mildred. I don't know you, but I love you, and you're my idol. I'm 80 years old, and I said, I talk to Carissa constantly about you. I said, I just want to have a program for Aunt Mildred to let us know how and what you have done to just for the Lord to carry you this far and with sound mind and limb and still working for him. So God bless you, And thank you again, Caritha. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, that program's coming with Aunt Mildred. She's going to be giving a testimony about her life.
Yes.
All righty. Anybody else this morning?
I just thank the Lord for just waking me up this morning. I was late coming on, but I'm thankful that he allowed me to come on. And I thank the Lord for you, Caritha, and everybody in this world. And he is just so awesome. He is so faithful. He is the master of everything. And miracles are still real. And he is still performing miracles. And I just want to thank him for just keeping me. And thank him for just, I could just thank him so much. Because he is just so awesome. He is just so great. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And he is the Almighty God. We just have to just believe in him and just know that everything is going to be okay. We should not focus on what we see with our natural eyes. We should not focus on what we see with we should not focus on what we hear with our natural ears. We just continue to live in the spirit and watch God perform new things.
Amen. Thank you, Avis.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. I just thank him so much. Amen.
I know. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else this morning? Thank you, Avis.
You're welcome.
You're already on. Go ahead.
Hello. This is Emily again. And I was just thinking it's just a blessing for your program to be on in my home. It just seems like it just blesses right in the home. I don't get a lot of visitors over in my house. And so it's just like the Spirit of God is visiting with me when I listen to your program.
Amen.
I work through the week and I'm busy and I do my little housework and stuff and listening to the program. And I think it's just a blessing. And God bless you in the service that you're doing through the program, and may it just reach everyone out there. I think it's wonderful how you're spreading the gospel through the radio or through the telephone. We have so many ways of communicating God, and I think this is ingenious the way that you're doing this. God bless you, and may God continue to strengthen you for this good work. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. I thank Blog Talk Radio for setting up a show where we can come on the phone and connect with each other. And I just thank God for what he's doing. And you all make the show. You know, I can't have a show by myself. So if it wasn't for you all, I wouldn't even have a show. So I thank God for each of you coming on and blessing us on the show. You all are who make the show. Of course, Father God is the head of the show, and I thank him in particular this morning. I thank God my sister comes on every week and supports us. I just thank God for my family. I thank God for each of you, my aunt and my cousins, and I just thank God for each of you who come on and listen and participate. And if you want to participate further, you can contact me on my cell phone. It's 504-931-7399. So give me a call if you want to participate, sing a song, give an encouraging word. However the Lord is leading you, call and let's talk. So I thank God for you. We're going to end the show now, and I look forward to speaking to you all next Saturday morning, 8 Central Time and 8 a.m. Central Time and 9 a.m. Central Time, Eastern Standard Time. Please forgive me. So those of you who are in some other states like Texas, New Orleans, Louisiana, you come on at 8 o'clock, and those of us in Michigan and Jacksonville, we come on at 9 o'clock. So I thank God for you all pressing in and getting up early to come on Bible Storyland. Today was Joyful Praise International Day. I thank all those people who came on from different countries. They live in the United States now, but I am looking forward to getting some children on and some people on who are actually in Ghana, who actually live on the soil now, who are actually in Sierra Leone, who are actually in Puerto Rico, who are actually in Asia, North America, South America, all those continents. I look forward to them coming on live on Bible Storyland in the very near future. So pray that I will be contacted by them, or I'll contact them, and they can come on. So you all have a blessed day. I love you. Talk to you later.
Bye.
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 Bye, Karen.